Lainey Dolphin with us as we're talking about dreams. We'll take your calls, your interpretations as well. And her website, haveagreatdream.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And her books, Have a Great Dream, Book 1 and 2, of course, available on her website and I'm sure amazon.com. And welcome back to Coast, Lainey Dolphin with us. Lainey, you were telling us a story. I'll let you finish it up if you want.
Oh, just that one of the ways that there's several ways that I teach you to not only uncover why you had the dream, but once we know what the subject matter is, then I teach you how to go back into the dream and learn what a solution looks like when it comes in the form of a metaphor. And I have several methods to do that. And my personal favorite is to take the story of the dream out to your waking life as if it's really happening and think of the solution that way. So for my series of freight elevator dreams, my solution was to bring people into the elevator, because if you bring people into an empty elevator, first of all, you put weight on the floor so it stops wobbling, and the other thing that happens is now you've got people around you, so it's not this big wide space and you have nowhere to hold on to. And so for me, bringing people into the elevator meant me calling my parents, and in a metaphoric way, invited them into the elevator, because this business of not having Tina in my life and not even knowing where she was, it just wasn't fitting for me.
No.
I had a kid. I wanted to know, where is she? Who is she? And I wanted to have her in my life. So because of the freight elevator dreams, I called my parents and I asked them to come with me to go find Tina. And then, of course, for the next 47 years, Tina was absolutely a part of my life. And so it was in a response to your question, yes, the answer is yes. Your dreams give you encouragement they give you the solution to the problems. Before I leave that subject, just to show you the level of sophistication and the web, when I was a little girl, my father had a warehouse, and he used to go to work on the weekends and take me with him, and there was a huge freight elevator in that place. So my associations, because I used to be a little bit nervous about that elevator,
yeah,
but I always felt okay because my father was with me. And so my unconscious reaches back in time to when I was a little girl to help me through my situation with my handicapped daughter, to give me advice about what I should do about it. And I ended up bringing Tina. You know, we didn't bring her home, but she was a very big part of my life and the rest of my daughters that I had over the following years.
Now, when people dream of those who have died and you see them in the dream, are they truly coming back to see us, or is that, again, our subconscious mind and our dream state creating that?
Well, so let's use this question. You don't even realize it, but you gave me a question that allows me to give you a fourth virus dream that I just got this morning from a woman who's in her mother's bedroom in her childhood home, and she's on the phone with her grandmother, who she calls Oma, and she's suddenly, while she's on the phone with her grandmother, looks over and sees her grandfather, who is dead.
Uh-huh.
And in the dream, she knows he's dead, but he's standing at the door. And so she immediately says to her grandmother, I can't stay on the phone with you. There's something very important going on. I got to go. And the dream is her feeling torn between, you know, letting her grandmother go, and listen to my language, letting her grandmother go because she chose the grandfather. What are her associations to the grandfather? She says that he was always calm and steady, and nothing was too big for him. In fact, when he was around, there was a wave of calm over the whole family. So this is who's running, and the grandfather in the dream is running towards her. and to give her a hug. So she is literally embracing, I'm talking about psychology first. I'll get to the spiritual in a second, because we are multitasking. And on the problem-solving psychological level, this girl is running towards the part of her personality that knows how to remain always calm and steady, and that nothing is too big for her. And it's because her boyfriend, he got sick before the quarantine, and so he was already quarantined before everybody else.
He had the coronavirus? He had the virus?
Yes, and so she's not with him. She's spending this time alone, and she's feeling overcome. So who does she bring into the dream? She brings in her grandfather, who was a calming, he represents the part of her personality that has the ability to manage herself through this time. All she needs to do is lean in towards that personality type of the grandfather. And you can see the dreamer leaning in, by the way, because she's hugging him in the dream. He's running towards her, and she embraces him. So that's so healthy. Oh, my God. She's embracing. And how does she, what are her associations to the grandmother, who she gets off the phone with in the dream? The grandmother, she says, loves gossip and loves to be in the middle of things, and she wants the family to get along and to be together. And the reason she's running away from that part of her own personality is because now is not the time that she could be physically involved, like in the middle of things in a physical way. So she moves away from the grandmother for this particular time in her life.
I love it.
And so, but now I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Now that we finished with the psychology, how do you and I know that that also wasn't really her grandfather?
We don't.
I bet you it was.
Do we? We don't know that.
No, we don't. But my bet is that
it probably was.
True. I think both are true.
Yep, I do too. Let's take some calls. They're lining up here for you. We'll start with Marilyn in Redding, California on the wild card line. Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the program.
Hello, George, and hello, Lady Dolphin. I'm pleased to be here.
Hi, I'm pleased to meet you, Marilyn.
Yes, thank you. I had a dream probably 45, 50 years ago. My children were getting up in their late teens, and this dream woke me up. It just scared the devil out of me. It woke me up, and I remember it so vividly. I was out in the country somewhere, and possibly a desert area, and I was walking and leading a horse. And I went over toward an old well that was partially covered. And for some reason, I had seen a little tiny child fall in there just before I ran there.
Oh, geez.
Got there, running, holding, carrying, you know, leading my horse. And this dream has stuck with me all my life. I don't know why it was so vivid, or I've never known anyone who lost a child in a fall like that.
But the dream is an expression of how you were feeling that particular week. And so what I can do is the only thing, because our images, first of all, it's a very old dream. It's like from 50 years ago. So
yes.
You're not going to be able to name for us what was going on in your life during the week that you had the dream. So we won't be able to look at it from a first-level point of view. But what I can do is I can project for you from my own life experience what situation in my waking life might trigger a dream like that. So one of the things that comes to my mind is if I'm out in the country and it's a desert, so it's a little bit deserted. In other words, I don't feel like there's a lot of people around in order for me to ask for help. And I'm watching something. I'm the observer in the dream because I'm watching the child fall down this well. And And the end of the story for me is this would be me saying to myself that I'm watching something that I really don't have control over. And the simple fact that you said that your children at the time were in their late teens, and I have four daughters and two granddaughters and very sweet son-in-laws, and I can just tell you, when I think about kids and me being an observer in the dream, that might be me watching the kids fight, because that would be a situation where one might, you know, one might be drowning.
Right.
Literally. And not and I'm not able to do anything about it. All I can do is watch.
What are nightmares, Lainey? Why do we have those?
Mostly we have nightmares because we are self-regulating organisms. And so whatever it is that you're not responding to during the day, so I call it an underreaction. And whatever you are underreacting to in your waking life, the dream is going to overreact. And the overreaction is the nightmare. And sometimes the overreaction is a recurring dream. And so two things happen. One is a nightmare creates a balance from your underreaction. And the second thing that happens is a nightmare usually succeeds in grabbing your attention. And that's what your unconscious wants. It wants to grab your attention to get you to talk about that thing that you're holding in. And so I often liken it to when you have to pee. You can hold it in, hold it in, hold it in, but at a certain point, you have to pee. It's like that's how we work. And so your feelings are not any different. You can hold them in, hold them in, hold them in, and at a certain point, they have to come out. And if you've been holding them in for too long, you're asking for a nightmare, buddy.
When we forget our dreams, is that our brain and our consciousness trying to tell us get rid of it to protect us? Why do we forget them?
No, I think it really is the physiological thing, that the memory trace is not there, but it's just that some of us are more inclined to remember and others are not. But you certainly, most certainly, you can train yourself to improve your dream recall by doing, this is one of my favorite exercises that I got from Robert Bosnack, who's a wonderful dream worker as well, and that is to just sit in a chair and take your watch off and look at the watch and take a notice of the hands and the second hand, and then close your eyes and see the watch in your mind's eye. And then you can also do with the room that you're in. Look all around the room and see the light and the TV and the paintings around you and the books and everything, and then close your eyes and walk around in the room that you just saw, but you're doing it in your mind's eye. And when you do that, you are tapping the facility in your brain that you need in order for dream recall. And that's how I do it. When I wake up, sometimes I'll say to myself, where was I just now? Like, where was I? And that is the same exercise as walking around a room with your eyes closed.
Let's go to Baltimore, Maryland. Mark's with us. Hey, Mark, you're on with Lainey. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Thank you for taking my telephone call.
Very welcome.
Dan, I just want to say, Coast to Coast AM, best show on the radio.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you for taking my question. I am an art school graduate, and I was a comic book artist for a while. And anyway, I could still do that, but I'm not. But I keep having this recurring dream over and over and over again that I failed out of school, art school, in my single year, or senior year, that I never graduated. I was a complete failure, and I did not graduate. And although I did achieve success subsequently in real life, I just keep having this dream, and I'm not sure if it's telling me that I don't have enough time or time is running short. So I was just wondering if you could help me, you know, to kind of decipher that.
And you say that it's recurring. So my first question is to nail down the recurring. Are you saying that you've had this dream over a period of your lifetime? Is it over a period of you had it seven times in the last 3 weeks?
Over my lifetime.
Over the lifetime. And so when you have a dream like that, repeat over a lifetime, it's the exact same thing as a favorite expression. So my favorite expression starts with an S, but because we're on the radio, I'm going to say it's, oh, darn it.
That's good.
Oh, okay.
That's a good word.
You.
Good word to use.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You've certainly taken a large burden off my mind.
Oh, no, it's just a favorite expression. The picture means something to you, and I'm going to give you a projection about what it could mean. So a favorite expression is, I could have said, oh, darn it, 45 years ago because I missed the bus. And I could have said, oh, darn it, about 2 hours ago when I realized, oh, my God, I'm on Coast to Coast tonight. So I'm still saying, oh, darn it. But there's like a 40-year spread in between using the exact same expression, oh, darn it. And so now let's talk about your dream. You're dreaming that you failed out of art school and that you didn't graduate. And I would have a dream, and maybe George will share one too. I could give you a dream, a circumstance. Because I have four daughters and two granddaughters, I would say that I've graduated parenthood, if you want to put it like that.
With a degree.
That's right. With a degree of confidence, and I feel like I know what I'm doing because I brought up these girls, and there's a 20-year spread between some of my daughters. Like, Tina would have been 47, and my youngest is 27. So I have a wide range of experience.
Well, you sure do.
Let me tell you, there's sometimes I don't know what the heck I'm doing, frankly, and I have no idea what to answer, one daughter in particular. I don't always have the answer, and that would trigger a dream where I'm dreaming that I failed out of school.
Interesting take on that.
It's a reflection of how I'm feeling today.
Dreams are just fantastic, though. I mean, you can solve problems in your dream state. You can go to bed thinking about something, and it'll be solved the next day when you wake up.
Exactly. And so can I tell you about Elias Howe, who invented the sewing machine?
If you can do it in a minute.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So he was so close to the invention of the sewing machine. It's just he couldn't figure out what to do with the needle. And he went to sleep and dreamt that he was captured by cannibals who threw him in a pot of boiling water. And they were all standing around him. And every time he tried to get out of the pot, they had these spears, and they were all around him poking their spears to keep him in the pot. And when he looked down at the spear, he saw that each of them had a hole at the tip. And when he woke up, he realized that he needed to move the hole in the needle from the top to the bottom of the needle, and the sewing machine was born.
How about that? We're going to come back in a moment and take final phone calls with Lainey Dolphin about your dreams. And have a great dream is her website.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And also don't forget to pop into the Art Bell Vault for you Coast Insiders. A couple of new programs put into that today, as a matter of fact. So you'll like that. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Lainey Dolphin, as we will take your calls on dreams. Lainey, where do people get your books? I assume Amazon?
Yes, you can find them both on Amazon. Book one is called Have a Great Dream, The Overview, and it's 114 pages, and it tells you exactly how to do it. And then if you want to look a little deeper, book two is called Have a Great Dream, A Deeper Discussion, and that's like a larger book for those of you that want to look deeper into the dreams.
Let's go to Kathy in Winnipeg, Canada, on the international line. Welcome to the program, Kath. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, George. Hi, Lainey. Happy birthday, Lainey.
Thank you. It's not quite till next week, but you're a fellow Canadian. Thank you very much.
But anyway, I was wondering, I've had two tragedies, one as a baby and one as a young child, and I don't dream.
You don't dream at all, or do you not remember the dreams, I guess? What is that, lady?
I probably dream, but I don't remember them.
Why doesn't she remember?
You do dream, because dreaming is just thinking. And so when we go to sleep at night, your brain doesn't die. It continues thinking. It's just that you get to see the metaphors because the distractions of the daytime have disappeared when you go to sleep. But I'm not clear what you're asking. You're saying that you've had dreams about a baby and a young child?
I was the baby and I was a young child when I've had two tragedies.
Two tragedies, but she's just not dreaming.
Oh, but you're just not dreaming. Right, but it's very normal not to remember your dreams.
Is it?
Of course, it's certainly very normal. It's just that I happen to work with the people who do remember their dreams. And I teach people who don't have great dream recall different tricks to try and get yourself to remember if you want to. But it's not a problem if you don't remember your dreams. It's just if you do, you absolutely can propel your problem-solving skills.
Is it a protective mechanism that the brain is doing to make you not remember?
Well, I think in some ways, yes, and in some ways not, because people who remember like a nightmare or something, they typically do go looking to try and find out what the heck that was about. And so the dreams do encourage you to, they want to grab your attention because they want you to look at whatever it is that needs looking at.
Kathy, do you want to remember your dreams?
Yes, I wouldn't mind remembering some of my dreams.
If you find me, Kathy, on YouTube, or even at my site, if you click on videos on my site, or you can go to my YouTube, I have these little clips. They're called Dream Tidbits, and each of them is under a minute. And it gives you little tips about, like, tidbit number one and two, give you some ideas about how to remember your dreams. But I want to tell you, by the way, whether you remember them or you don't, you're still problem-solving in your dreams. So if you want to quit that job, you're going to quit that job anyway, but it might take you a month or two to do it if you don't remember your dreams. And if you do, you might get to it faster.
That's the way to do it. Good luck, Kathy. Hope everything works out. I'm not going to ask her about her two tragedies that she had in her life. Let's go to first-time caller Amanda in Queens, New York. Amanda, I trust you and your family and the people you care about are okay out there?
So far, so good, but I feel like I'm in the twilight zone with this virus.
Oh, I bet. All over the place.
I'm so glad that you're there, George and Lainey, because how do you explain having a dream and then later having it happen exactly as I dreamed it in real life?
Well, I've said before, and this is another example, that we are multitasking in our dreams. And so there's some spiritual stuff going on, and there's also some ESP going on, because we are capable of that. And so there's many things going on simultaneously in a dream. And I like to say that we are problem solving, and we are using memories from the past, from the present, and sometimes from the future in order to problem solve something that's going on this week. So my personal expertise is deconstructing the images to help the dreamer attach it to the situation that triggered the dream and to help you find a solution. And, I can give examples of when you see this wonderful ESP that we are capable of actually happen. It's amazing when you see it happen, but I promise you that there's also a problem-solving aspect of whatever dream you had that also turned out to be an ESP experience.
Amanda, you have a follow-up? Go ahead.
So you're saying that the future is carved in stone, that the future already happened and we're just looking into it?
Well, it depends on what the dream is. I mean, I've heard people say, I was dreaming that this person that I know was was, died, and then he really did die, a week or two later. Sometimes you're unconscious, even though you're not consciously seeing something. Your unconscious is picking up a lot, and sometimes you might see things in a person, something about their eyes, maybe something about the way they're walking. You pick up something unconsciously from people, and so maybe you kind of knew that that person was ill. And then they die, and you think that you foretold the future or something like that. So just to bring you back for a second, I just want to say that the question you're asking right now is not my area of expertise. You're asking me if the future is there in stone, and I cannot answer that question for you.
I think we have the right to alter the future. What do you think?
So do I.
Yeah, I do too. Amanda, thanks. Appreciate your call. Let's go next to David in New Mexico. Hi, David. Go ahead, sir. Thanks for holding.
Lainey, that you've touched on things I was going to ask. And first of all, since you mentioned Bill Murray earlier, George, I once pranked Bill Murray. I think I'm the only person who pranked Bill Murray. I figured out which hotel he would likely stay in, and I called him up and talked to him for about 10 minutes.
And he talked? Really?
Yeah, he talked. I felt like I was in a scene of one of his movies. That's literally what it felt like.
How cool.
Lainey, I had forgotten my birthday is next week as well. You're not by chance on the 31st, are you?
No, I'm April 3rd.
Okay, yeah. Well, thanks for reminding me I had a birthday. I didn't even think about it till now. And your out and abouts are like mine, and by your voice, you sound like you're from north and east of Minnesota, which is where I'm from.
Oh, I'm from Montreal.
Well, that would be north and east.
That's it.
You're a Quebecois.
We know what cold is.
That's right.
Yeah, like 50 below.
Exactly.
In Fahrenheit. So dreams, like I said, you've hit all around what I was going to ask about. Originally, I was going to ask about, I had went to bed one night, had a dream that a tornado passed by our family farm, and I saved the family, and I woke up to the news that a tornado had passed by our family farm, and one of my family members had been affected by it. And that's not really metaphorical stuff, that's more real stuff. But you also created a paradox for me, because I'm one, I do dream, and I do remember them. I unfortunately have a nightmare literally every single night for the last dozen years since my children were disappeared. And the paradox is that whereas I can relate to what you said, that I don't think about it enough during my waking hours, and I'm reminded of it in my nightmare, I can relate to that, but I can also relate to, I've been fairly diligent about spreading the word about our state-sponsored child trafficking that's going on, and so there's a paradox there. I'm having these nightmares, but and I do relate to kind of stuffing those feelings by day, even though I'm simultaneously telling anybody who will listen. So can you help me?
Well, I like how you just added telling somebody who will listen has a flavor for me of frustration, because I'm not feeling that enough people are listening to what I have to say. Is that what you're kind of saying? Do I hear you saying that?
Yes.
So there is some kind of a level of not feeling like your voice is out there enough.
Probably, which I guess creates what to a dream.
Right, exactly. It creates a nightmare, and you want to be looking inside those nightmares, because I actually want to bet you $10 about two things. One is that probably inside those nightmares, there is probably a clue that your unconscious may suggest to you, and it could be via a certain person that appears in your dream, or maybe the place that you're at. But usually your unconscious will point you in a certain direction of a personality trait that you need in order to help accomplish the goal that it is that you want to accomplish. And the other thing I wanted to bet you $10 about is that I bet you that
big
dream. I beg your pardon?
You're a big better there, Lainey.
Well, okay, $15.
All right, 15.
But I was thinking that when you used that tornado dream, that, yes, I agree with you that you had some ESP about the you stepped into the future, but I'm putting my money on that when you had that tornado dream, you were also feeling that way in your waking life, that something was upsetting in spinning around you or not in your control in your waking life on that week when you had that dream about the tornado.
I've had some dreams, and I've been talking about this for the last several years, of something impending about to occur, and I'm now wondering if it's this coronavirus situation.
Me too, because it could be. And so, but, you know, so that's what I talk about when I talk about layers, and that's what I go into in the bigger book of A Deeper Discussion. This is exactly what I'm talking about breaking down the dream. Why did I have that dream this week? And how does that relate to something from my past? Or what behavior am I, what response am I giving to my life situation today that is that reminds me of a behavior that I have from my past, or from my childhood? Where does my response originate? And is my response to today's situation appropriate? Does it fit? And so, you know, if your natural response to a life situation is to be out and about with crowds of people, and you're an extrovert, and that's what you like to do, then that part of you is over-exercised, and your introverted, stay-alone part, stay-removed part, is what Jung would have called your shadow. So that's your unexercised aspect of your personality. And during a time like this with the virus, those people who are more extroverted and like being in the action and being with crowds of people around them, those are the people that are going to have to, that their unconscious is going to be working on. You don't be surprised if you find personalities in your dream who you associate as being reserved, shy, removed, because your unconscious is inviting you to tap into that part of yourself, because that's the appropriate response for today's situation with the virus.
Let's go to Brian in Crestline, California. Go ahead, Brian. We got a little bit of time for you.
Hi, George. Hey, what great bumper music you got going on there. I mean, Tom's doing a great job. Even the Everly Brothers, what a great show.
Superstar.
And interesting guest. Lainey, bonsoir, madame. I've been a pilot for about 35 years, flying on and off, and there was about a 10-year period where I would have a reoccurring borderline nightmare.
Oh, boy.
And it would happen about three or four times a year, and the nightmare was I would either be taken off from an airport or approaching an airport to land, and suddenly I was surrounded by obstacles, power lines, radio towers, and I'd wake up in a cold sweat. Now, this was never based on any incident I ever had. I don't take a cavalier attitude when it comes to aviation. I do it by the book. But as a result of, now, I haven't had this reoccurring dream in a good 10 years now, but as a result of all those, what I would I can tell you one thing for sure. When it comes to unfamiliar airports, I take extra special care of the obstacle charts and their elevation.
Smart.
And everything.
Right. And I could tell you that we have been discussing this evening our use of language and how it translates into our dreams. And so your vocabulary, I think your name is Brian, is that right?
Brian it is, that's right.
Because you're a pilot for so long, you're talking to yourself about your life situations in pilot language. And so if I was a pilot and that was my dream, and I would have a nightmare that I'm trying to land the plane and there's obstacles everywhere, I would wake up in the morning and I would ask myself, what's going on in my life this week? Some situation that I'm trying to get to, that I'm trying to accomplish, and there's obstacles in the way. And I have the perfect Corona example. Under what circumstances would trigger this dream is all the obstacles that I am experiencing with my husband, Andy, and his idea of what getting rid of germs is and what my idea of getting rid of germs is.
Two different views, to be sure. Lainey, thank you for being on the program. The clock has got us. If you need more answers, just dream about it. In a moment, Marshall Masters joins us as we talk about his latest work on Coast to Coast AM.